That was so beautiful. Take me to the alley. That's the spirit of the living God saying, let me go to the places where those who are in need or want of comfort, take me there. Take me to the place where people have lost their way. Take me there. And let them hear me say, I am your friend. And welcome to my table. Come to my table. Rest in my garden, where you will find a pardon. I love those words. Thank you. That was Keith Pierre bringing us that wonderful song. And of course, the Richard Payne Trio, as always, who do a wonderful, wonderful job. Welcome, welcome everyone to Unity of Washington, D.C. And this is your hour of discovery, your hour of transformation, a time in which you can come apart for a while and hear that word that will lift your spirits, bring you into a new understanding, and open your hearts. You know, these past few weeks for me, as like everyone, I've been trying to maneuver everything that is taking place on the planet right now, while at the same time trying to address those things that are particular to me, as you might be as well, dealing with those items and issues that are yours, and trying to remain above the fray, keeping it all in perspective. But every now and then, we might forget for a moment. And I know that in the last few weeks, I was sort of feeling like the prodigal, not the prodigal son, but the prodigal daughter. And my spirit was sort of vexed, and that's an old word. Old folks used to say, my spirit is vexed. But meaning that the spirit or the heart has some level of trouble, whatever it is, and I've been trying to maneuver that. And for a moment, I found myself saying, I think I'll just run away. I just think I'll run away. And that thought made me think of the prodigal son who had gone to his father and asked his father for his inheritance so that he could go out and live his life. And he did. And he spent his inheritance, the Bible says, in riotous living. And to the degree or the point in time at which he recognized he was depleted, he didn't have anything left. He was eating the husk that even the pigs would probably not want to eat. And I love this phrase. The scripture says, then the prodigal son came to himself, meaning he had an awareness, and he said, let me go back to my father's house. That thought right there is a powerful thought. And when my spirit was vexed and I was just trying to figure out what in the world do I need to do, I came to myself for a moment and I found myself saying, you know what? You need to get back to the Father's house. Get back to that place where divine love exists. Get back to that place where you are comforted and held in the presence of the divine. Get back to that place where you are known and familiar. That's my familiar means it's a part of my family. Get back to where I'm connected to God. My father's house, in my father's house. And so I began the journey of returning to my father's house, coming to myself once again, remembering what is important, remembering you, as a matter of fact, remembering my call, remembering God, remembering the good. And so here we are today on Father's Day. And I want to take this time to recognize and acknowledge all of our wonderful fathers. Those fathers who have indeed created a house, prepared a home where people, your loved ones, can feel safe and secure and divinely protected. Those fathers that have created a house that lets those who indwell that house to know that they are valued, valuable members of one's family, the familia. So I honor you, all of the fathers out there who have done and are doing their very best, the highest within them, to create and offer and give the highest to others. So this day we celebrate you, our wonderful fathers. Now, I know it may seem a little strange in the midst of a pandemic where perhaps you're not being taken out to dinner or lunch, or maybe you are. But it may feel like a little stress, but I want you to know that you're loved and you're valued and you're appreciated and you are acknowledged on this day. You know, you've heard me say, those of you who are regular attendees here at Unity of Washington, D.C., you've heard me say this often, that I love the new concept of fatherhood. I love this new image. I call it the 21st century father concept, father's concept. And I love it more than perhaps the old concept of fatherhood, where it was all about rule making, obedience, breadwinning, domineering energy. Whereas today that concept has softened and it becomes more of a loving presence, father as a loving presence, where fathers are more engaging, hands-on, you know, going to ballet classes with their daughters or as well as football games with their sons. But it's more engaging in the life of their children and their beloved ones, more supportive. And I love this idea. It reminds me of sort of the migration from the Old Testament concept of a God to a New Testament concept of God. And over time, concepts change and shift. In fact, it was Jesus in this New Testament that was the first to actually bring us a new concept of God. God as Father. God as Father. Because you won't find that concept at all in the Old Testament. Excuse me. But in the New Testament, God as a loving Father is a New Testament thing. It's a New Testament idea, and I absolutely love it. But, you know, we in New Thought have taken that concept of God even further, because we include the mother principle within that. We will say Father, Mother, God. Not just the Father, but Father, Mother, God. And I know that that is very shocking for some. And I was thinking about if that is offensive to any, I want you to ask yourself why. I want you to really think about the law of creation. It's Father and Mother. These aspects of the one being is contained within our concept of God, within our concept of creation, within our concept of life. So we in New Thought boldly say Father, Mother, God, taking it, the concept, even further. But that's for another talk, because today is Father's Day, and I want to focus on the father principle, because it's a father concept and a father principle that is contained within everybody. We all have the father principle, the father dimension of consciousness. And I want to share, listen to what Charles Fillmore, who is one of the co-founders of the Unity Movement, along with his wife, Myrtle. It was a husband and wife team that created the Unity Movement. And this is from The Revealing Word, in which Charles Fillmore defines several concepts, spiritual concepts, spiritual laws, principles. And this is how he defines the father principle. He says, it is the exact and immutable principle of being. The exact and immutable principle of being, lying back of all existence as cause, meaning it's the energy in back of everything that is, and it's in back of it as the cause. And then he says, and approachable only along lines of perfect law. Perfect law. So it is the cause, the Father principle is the cause behind all things that lies in back of everything. And it is also the approach, and it's approachable along the lines of perfect law. And you know what the Bible says about perfect law? It says love is the perfect law. Right? Perfect love casts out all fear. So this principle then, this Father principle, has a quality of love behind it as well in the terms of perfect law. And then he says, it is omnipresent and is not subject to change or open to argument. Now, when I read that last sentence, I had to laugh a little bit because I thought, well, that kind of sounds like the Old Testament concept of a God or an old thought of Father as God when it says that it is not subject to change nor open to argument. See, in the olden days, the Father laid down the law. I don't know if any of you have had that experience, maybe, but the Father was responsible for laying down the law. And once that law was given, it wasn't open to argument. Once a decision was made, that was it. Now, some of us would try to go to our mothers and see if we could get them to change the Father's law and principle. But in New Thought, we have a different approach to this laying down the law. We have a new understanding because laying down the law spiritually and metaphysically is actually a good thing. It is a good thing. It is not seen as punishment. It is not seen as control. But what happens is because the law, spiritual law, is something that we can rely upon. It is something that will not change. It's not wishy-washy. It doesn't change according to one's own personal decrees and demands. It's steady. It's true. It's there for everyone. It's actually principled. When you work with law, it is the principled essence of how the universe works, how things work, right? It's unchanging law that is actually based on the ultimate and absolute nature of God. And we here in New Thought like to think God is absolute good. So the laws of being that are put forth for us are also good. And they are for our highest good, not to contain us, to constrict us, but actually to help us to use the law for the benefit of our lives, so that we can grow and unfold in the highest way possible with the highest potential. And we use law because law is something that is immutable. It has nothing to do whether I'm a good person or a bad person, but everything to do with because God is absolute good and the creations of God are good. So this whole concept then of spiritual law is very important for us. And I think that we would benefit if we could somehow take all of the spiritual principles and spiritual laws and fill our consciousness with them. Fill our being with these wonderful spiritual laws, because under law, whatever is held in consciousness manifests in expression. So in this regard, understanding a spiritual law is a great thing, because we know it as this. For those of you who are metaphysicians and art and truth students, you know this concept as the law of mind in action, or thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. So when I hold a good thought, I'm able to produce a good thought. Now, because the law is based on principle, it doesn't change. So if I also hold a limiting thought, I might produce then limiting experiences. So the law is not responsible for what I produce. It's how I use the law that actually determines what my experience would be. And so the challenge becomes then, well, what kinds of thoughts am I holding in my consciousness? What are the thoughts that I'm holding in my mind? Mr. Fillmore, who's a co-founder of Unity, used to say that thoughts are like unruly children. And as such, they must be disciplined. He also said that thoughts are things and they have power and energy and the creative quality about them. But if they're like little children, unruly children, that means, you know, we can have them running around in our head, creating havoc, mayhem. He said, so as such, they must be disciplined. Our thoughts must be disciplined and focused and directed, right? So not disciplined in a harsh way, not disciplined in a negative way, but disciplined in a way that offers direction. We want to harness our thoughts so that we're offering directions to our thoughts. We're offering guidance to our thoughts. We're offering understanding for the thoughts that we are holding. Much like this is what the Father Principle is about, offering guidance and direction, right? This is where the Father Principle comes in, because you want to have laser focus and not let your thoughts run willy-nilly in your head. Because what you will produce is probably willy-nilly stuff in your experience. So if we don't discipline our unruly thoughts, if we don't give them a higher direction, if we don't give higher direction to our low vibrations and our low thoughts, then we will experience a low manifestation. If we don't temper our thoughts and emotions, we'll be moved to places that we don't want to go. We don't want to be. We'll have experiences that we don't want to have. And they'll prove limiting. So the question is, what is the condition of your mind? What is the condition of your mind? Because I recognize for the last few weeks, I was allowing these thoughts to just run rampant in my mind, and they were wreaking havoc in my body. You see, because this is the way it works. You hold stressful thoughts, you have that stress will manifest in your physical being, right? And so I wanted to examine, what's the condition of my mind? Are you allowing your thoughts to take over your consciousness? Are you caught up in an endless loop of thinking the same thing over and over again, which is what builds resentment, that resending of that thought, the resending of that limited feeling? And it dawned on me, wait a minute. Let me get up from where I am and let me go back to my Father's house. Let me go back to that place that is of a higher consciousness, that place where I know there's peace and there's understanding, illumination. Let me move from the level of consciousness that I am experiencing and expressing, or I should say expressing and experiencing, so that I can raise my own vibrations and have a different understanding, so that I can change my circumstance as I change my thoughts. It's quite simple. Change your thoughts, you change your life. Change your thoughts, you change your experience. Now, even though I said it's quite simple, because it really is that simple, but don't be fooled by the simplicity, because it does take a little work to do that. To change your thought takes focused thought. To change your energy and vibration takes work on your part, but it's a powerful work to be done. It's a beautiful work because it lets you know that you're not a victim, that you can, in fact, shift and direct the course of your life by the experience, your inner experience. And this is where the Father Principle comes in, offering guidance and direction for your thoughts. And the energy will follow the thought. See, your energy goes where your consciousness goes, where your thought goes. So we want to be able to make sure that we're guiding and offering guidance, direction, and moving in the place and the direction that we want to move in. We want to be able to raise our vibration if we're in a low state of consciousness. We want to be able to lift ourselves up, lift ourselves out of our circumstance. Remember, come to ourselves and say, I will return to my Father's house. I'm going to get back to that high level of thinking. I'm going to get back to that high consciousness. Because I tell you, it's the stinking thinking that keeps us down in our negative experience. And so I got up and I began this morning, I wanted to look at some concepts of thoughts. I said, let me look up some thoughts that new thought leaders have expressed about the power and the essence and the quality of thought itself. So listen to some of these. And these are from some of the old-time metaphysicians and truth students. And I like to go back and read their stuff because it just had meat to it. And it reminds me, and I needed to remind myself, that I am the master of my own consciousness. And I don't need to let the thoughts take over and lead me down a place where I don't want to be. Right? So this is one. It says, with every thought, there is a radiation of energy. Every thought produces energy. It radiates out. This is why you don't have to say a thing, but a person can feel what you're thinking. You ever have that experience? Right? So with every thought, there's a radiation of energy. If a person is untrained in thinking, see, not willy-nilly, we must have focused approach to what we think and what we hold. If a person is untrained in thinking and lets his mind express all kinds of thoughts without control, he not only uses up his thought stuff, but fails also to accomplish any helpful result. That was from Charles Fillmore in Jesus Christ Heals. So we got to make sure that we are training our unruly thoughts and directing them in the way that we want them to go. And this one is from Stella Thurow Mann in How to Use the Power of Your Word. And she says, back of every destructive habit is thought out of control. Manage your thoughts or they will control and manage you. I thought, that's a powerful one. Every limited behavior, every habit that we have, she says, is thought that's out of control. So if you want to break a habit, again, bring your consciousness back so that you're making conscious choices about what you want to do. Not only what you want to do, but what you want to think. Because thought is cause. So this one comes from James Dillard Freeman, who is Unity's poet laureate. And he says this, do not let your thought rule you. Rule your thought. Teach yourself to guard your mind. Let no life-depleting thoughts enter in. If they do, turn them into life-implementing thoughts. I love that one. Don't let your thought rule you. You rule your thought. Take it. Teach yourself, he says, to guard your mind. So we have a little thing sometimes when something comes in, we go, wait, cancel. It sounds a little funny, but actually that's guarding your mind. That's being aware in the moment. You know what? I want to rethink that. I want to re-say that. I want to rephrase that. I don't want to go down that road with that thought. Okay? So you want to guard. And he says, and don't let no life-depleting thoughts. There are certain thoughts that will deplete your energy. They create stress. They don't lead you anyplace good. He says, instead, if they get in, then all of a sudden you've got to turn those life-depleting thoughts into what he says are life-implementing thoughts. Thoughts that are going to enable you to implement the good, that will take you where you want to go and have you experience what you want to experience. Work on those thoughts. And then James Dillard Freeman, and this is from his book, Prayer, The Master Key. He says, it is thought by thought and prayer by prayer that changes go on in you. I'm going to say that again. It's thought by thought and prayer by prayer that change goes on in you. Every thought you think, every prayer you make moves you closer to the flowering of your good. The change you want to see is going to be thought by thought, prayer by prayer. And so when I was having my challenging weeks a couple of weeks ago, and I just remembered that, let me get back to prayer. Let me get back to the truth that I know. Let me move my thinking and my feeling from this level of vibration to a higher one. And the change that I'm seeking, it'll never take place out there. I can't change another living soul. I can only change my mind. I can only change my heart. And if I want to change my heart, I've got to change my mind. All right. And Francis W. Folk says this in her book, Effectual Prayer. She says, the only way to close the door on unruly thoughts is to hold a thought so holy, to become so interested in it, that the irrelevant thoughts will find nothing in common with it, nothing to hold them. I love that. In order, she says, the only way to close the door on unruly thoughts is to replace them with holy thoughts, high thoughts, good thoughts, God thoughts, truthful thoughts. And then to think those thoughts so much, to hold them in your consciousness so deeply and so dearly that all the irrelevant thoughts fall away, fade away. There's no room in your consciousness. That's powerful. And then she goes on to say this. When you are seeking the silence, take always with you a very high thought so that you may become quickly unified with the Father. It's high thoughts that connect you to the divine. When you want to go into the silence, when you want to be still, when you want to quiet all the outer clamoring and all the confusion, she says, make sure that you can take a very high thought into your consciousness. And in doing that, you become unified with the Father. You become unified with God. God is not a low vibration, okay, but a high vibration. And this last quote comes from Jesus the Christ, who I consider to be the ultimate new thought leader and the new ultimate new thought teacher. And he said this in John 14, verses 1 through 4. It's a very familiar scripture. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, he was saying this to his disciples as he was departing. And I love the first response came from Thomas, known as Doubting Thomas. And he's like, what? Where you going? What? Wait. We don't know the way. What are you talking about? We don't know the way. Where are you going? What do you mean? See, don't be like Doubting Thomas, filled with confusion and doubts and all this questioning in the mind and filled with fear. You want to fill your mind and your consciousness with the truth. And the truth of the matter is, as Jesus said, you know the way. There is that in you that knows how to get back to the Father's house. There is that in you, if you can just be still enough, all of a sudden it will come to you. Wait a minute. Let me get back to God. Let me get back to the truth. Let me get back to that place where there's the goodness of God. I need to rise up and go back to my Father's house. You see, a house represents your consciousness, or your consciousness represents a house. It's where you live. You live inside of your consciousness. You live in your mind and in your heart and in your thoughts and in your feelings and in your perceptions. This is your reality. This is your life. And so what we want to do is to make sure that we are getting back to a higher consciousness. I want my life to be where I'm living connected to the divine source of all that is good. Because in that consciousness, in that awareness, in that house, everything that I need is provided for. It is already prepared for me. The good that I'm seeking is already there in my Father's house. So Jesus is saying, in my Father's house, in my Father's consciousness, there are many mansions, meaning a mansion is a place that is huge and big and luxurious and full of abundance and all things good. In my Father's consciousness are many mansions, higher levels, greater levels of good. Right? Levels of consciousness, high thoughts, abundant thoughts, rich thoughts, spiritual thoughts and laws. And everything in my Father's house is prepared for you because I'm going to make sure that you know the way. It's all done for us. The goodness that we're seeking is already prepared in the Father's house. Jesus also said in another scripture, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's a Father's good pleasure. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. He's saying, look, remember to get back to the Father's house. And it's the Father's good pleasure to give you everything, all the things that you think that you need. But you must return. You must raise your consciousness. You must make sure that as you're raising your thoughts, that you are truly returning to the source of all good. Get yourself back to the Father's house. In whatever situation you're in, that should be your primary goal. Because there in the Father's house, you're going to find shelter. You're going to find provision. God has provided. Father provides. You will find peace. You will find divine protection because the Father has you in his care as beloved offspring and child. In the Father's house, you're going to find love, an abundance of love. You will find directions for your questions. You'll find guidance for your life. You will find everything that you need in the Father's house. When your mind and your heart are troubled, get yourself back to the Father's house. You see, because there you'll find healing for your heart, healing for your mind. When you are cast down and you feel as if you want to succumb to limitations and naysayers or whatever, get yourself to the Father's house. For in my Father's house are many mansions, many levels of higher consciousness. Just pick one. One level, a higher level, it doesn't matter. Whatever level, a higher thought you pick, you'll have everything you need in that level of consciousness. The only way, remember, to harness and to manage unruly thoughts is to replace them with holy ones. Holy ones, the wholeness of God. The more you dwell in the Father's house, the more your life will take on the high vibrations of consciousness. And also, the more you dwell in the Father's house, you know, sit at that table that Keith just sang about and partake of everything that's been prepared for you, the abundance, the substance. It's all there for us. But the more we dwell in the Father's house, then the less you're going to think, and the less you think, right? Which is a function of the mind, but there's an even purer function, and that is to intuit. That is to be at a place where you get a divine, what I call divine downloads. You get a direct revelation, a direct knowing, so that you know what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Thinking makes you tired. Thinking can stress you out. So when something is upon you, think less and begin to return so that you can dwell in a different consciousness. Dwell in the Father's house, and in that dwelling, divine direction, guidance for your path is laid out before you, light for your journey, strength for this thing called life. All of that is given to us when we learn to get ourselves back in alignment. So my phrase for me is, whatever situation and circumstance I may find myself in, Lord, help me to remember to get myself back to the Father's house, because that's where the blessings are. So as you celebrate this Father's Day, I want you to remember God as Father, that loving source for provision, protection, guidance, wisdom, direction, all things good. And everything that you need has already been prepared for you. Happy Father's Day. Namaste and blessings.